talked to him last week. And just for a few minutes, we've been trying to get together, but it just hasn't worked out. But you know what he asked me? He said, how can I go tell them? And he was speaking about the people where he lives in New Delhi. He lives there. And he said, everybody worships idols. How can I tell them about this great God? Here's a guy who got saved a couple weeks ago. He's trying to figure out how to be a missionary over in his own country. He said, you know, he said, since I've experienced, he said, I have never experienced God like I've experienced him now. So now we're working together. And it's always been, you know, if you've been around here long enough, you know it's been my heart's desire to help somebody in India. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to, Lord, I don't want to go to a big ministry over there. I just want somebody who's fighting good fight of faith, maybe a pastor to just. And I said, maybe this is our divine connection, because he's asking already for study material for himself so he can be prepared when he gets back there. Hallelujah. I'm just excited about what God is doing. I'm so excited. Diane said it this morning. You walked through the doors. There was something happening in here. It was glory to God. Huh? Yeah, it was just, hallelujah. God is doing some wonderful things. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to start this message about the not only who the Holy Spirit is, but the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to start this thing. And ultimately, what my goal is to get us to have a greater intimacy with him. Amen. Not just know about him, but you actually on a daily basis have a talk, conversation with him. You hear his voice. He speaks to you on a regular basis, not just sometimes. Not just sometimes. And be honest, we all acknowledge the fact that there's times we need to hear from God and we're not hearing. So I believe that God intends us to hear his voice, because what's coming up, and I don't know what it is, and I'm not proclaiming anything, God is preparing us for something. Wednesday night, we did a message, and we've been doing the Sermon on the Mount. And we did Wednesday night, blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, nobody really likes to hear persecution. I don't want to be persecuted for my faith. Nobody does. But we have found through history and what's going on over in the Middle East even now, that through persecution, the church grows exponentially. It just explodes because of persecution. Now, whether you believe it or not, over here in America, we don't experience it right now. We experience a lot of things, but we don't experience a persecution that comes with proclaiming to be a Christian, a true Christian. I'm not talking about a nominal Christian. I'm not talking about somebody who goes to church on Sunday morning and leave everything there when they leave and they go home. And when you get around people that are unsaved, that you act just like them, talk like them. And as far as they're concerned, you're just like them, except you go to church. Amen? That's a nominal Christian. That's somebody who's going to go to heaven, possibly. But they're no earthly good. For our sole purpose here is to be ministers of reconciliation, where we bring the gospel, the good news. You're more concerned about the life of that person over there than you are your own. Most people keep quiet because they don't want to lose friendships, relationships, whatever it is. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. Family members are going to be at odds with one another. You could possibly lose your job because of your testimony of Christ. There's a lot of things that can happen to you. And that's when persecution really comes, when you start walking the walk instead of just talking the talk. Amen. 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 And that's a battle.
Yes, it is.
Nobody likes it. I don't like it. Everybody wants to be loved by everybody.
Yeah.
Well, if I just show Jesus love, that should be sufficient. I mean, you know, the devil can counterfeit Jesus' love anytime he wants. When they have sexual immorality and they have two people coming together, it's called fornication. And what do they call it in the world? Making love. That's not making love, that's having sex. Outside of marriage, it's sin. But the world calls it love. Why? So that the church can accept it. And the church has. Now we have people who are in the church who are getting divorced. 50% of the divorces in the world, in the United States today, are in the church. That's crazy. That's crazy. So anyways, my goal is that we start walking by the Spirit to all of our best of our ability with His gracious help. Not because we are forced into something, but because we realize that's where true riches are, in Him. Everything else out here, everything out here you see, everything you got, whatever, it's a car or a house or whatever toys we gather, it's all temporal. And it'll do you no good when you die. And by the way, if the Lord should tarry, we all go by the way of the grave. Do we think He's coming back soon? Yes, I do. I don't know about you. I'm looking for His appearing any moment. Amen. But I know one thing. Whatever I got stays behind. I don't want any of it when I go up there. Because everything down here has a flaw in it. You understand? I want, when I get there, everything will be perfect. Be nothing down here. I don't want to take anything that's not perfect up there. And I won't be able to anyway. Praise God. All right, so we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Praise God, God willing. And I started this because I was sitting one just a few days ago. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden something came to me. And it was a dream I had, but the dream didn't come to me, but what it connected to the dream. And I believe the Holy Spirit said to me, "Do you make room for the Holy Spirit? Do you make room for Him?" Sometimes we don't. And I'm not talking about just a church service. I'm talking on a daily basis. Every day, do you make room for the Holy Spirit? Most of us, I would gather, would probably say no. If I think back on it, when was the last time I had a conversation with Him? When was the last time He instructed me on what to do and how to go, and I did it? And yet all of these things, when God sent His Holy Spirit, wasn't just to save us, but to lead us into His perfect will and see His perfect will come to pass. Not just ours, but His. So God took me to David. Praise God. To begin with, we're going to look at David in 1 Samuel. We're going to talk a little bit about 1 Samuel chapter 28, 29, and 30. And we're going to get an idea where David was. And we say, well, the Holy Spirit wasn't spoken. Look, the Holy Spirit was working from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis 1, He was there. Revelation 22, He's there. He's all the way in between. And He's not just in the New Testament. He was operating in the Old Testament. And so this to me was something that really, and I couldn't quite understand. And really, to this point, I hope this message will bring help to those who are seeking to see the power of God in their lives and see the victory. We sang a song this morning about having victory. Amen. Don't you get tired of just getting defeated every time you turn around? Yep. You look at what's going on in the world today. You look at what's going on in the United States today. It's one defeat after another. In your bulletin this morning, I hope you all open it up and read it at times when you get a chance. I put in there a page about abortion. Abortion is murder. I will pull it no other way. You understand? It's killing human babies. The most innocent babies. And God warns us about shedding innocent blood. That God hates. And America's been doing that for years. We've seen over 60 million, they say now, babies dead. Why do we have to assume that we're under that curse in this nation? Not us personally, but this nation. Why? The reason being is that our government is paying for them. The problem is our taxes are paying for them. They just gave $500 and some million to Planned Parenthood. That thing in the bulletin is a report from Planned Parenthood. You understand? That's their report. Nobody else's. Nobody made it up. That's their report. Think about it. Over 300,000 babies a year are killed in America. You don't think that God's going to deal with America? You think he's just going to ignore it and pass it on? Not my God. Every one of those. Every time a child's blood is spilled, it cries out to God. Every one of them. And God hears it. We live in a time that we ignore at times. And all the messages want to be, yay, everything's fun and happy and just make me feel good. When I listened and read that stuff, my heart broke. I looked at, we're killing babies. Then when some young man goes into a school and shoots it up and kills people, we can't understand, how could he do this? Because he's seen his parents agreeing to killing babies. And if they can kill babies, I can kill the teenager. It's by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit in this nation that this nation hasn't already gone down the tubes completely. It's because of the church who is still praying, still seeking the Lord, still reading and still believing God for a miracle, for a change, a transformation. It's the church who stands between God and judgment here. And there's coming a day when the church will be taken out of here and judgment's going to fall. But until that day, we still have to live here. And there's still battles to go on. And whether you believe it or not, there is spiritual warfare. There is a Satan. There is a devil. He's still alive and he has power. And some of us are being affected by him and we're not doing it. Whatever God called us to, we're just standing there letting him beat us up. We got to stop. If God's word is what he said it is, it's truth, then the truth has to set us free from what the enemy is doing. I'm going to take you to David. I'll get there sooner or later. I'm trying to get you there. This was a time when, you remember, David was anointed to be king, if you remember that story. He was a little lad out in the fields taking care of his father's sheep. And then Saul called him to the palace because David could play an instrument. And whenever he played, the same thing happened this morning. The Holy Spirit came. Come on now. David played his instrument. It says that that spirit that was oppressing Saul would leave because of the worship that David played. Come on now. Why do you want to enter into this realm? Why do you want to get here early, maybe, and just sit there and worship and just receive? Why? Because there's things that need to be set free from you. And as you enter his praise and his worship, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. The very presence of Almighty God, the very presence of the Holy Spirit is in that place where the worship is. Worship isn't just singing.
That's right.
Worship is coming before your God and acknowledge he is God and there is no other God before him. Lord, I can't do this without you. I can't live my life without your presence. I don't want to just know him. I want to be friends with him. I want to talk to him and listen to what he's got to say to me. I want intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I want to be one with him. Like Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Why could he say that? Because he had the Spirit of God in him. It wasn't what he was doing. Because remember, even the magicians did the same thing that Moses did. There was many people call himself the Christ, even today, many. The Bible says that Satan's going to come with false signs and wonders. People are going to be deceived following someone who came that does white mighty wonders and signs. But he comes in the dark of night with the darkness of the soul. Jesus came with the bright light of the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. The same Spirit's in you. The same Holy Spirit dwells in you. You understand? The same Spirit that brought Jesus' body up out of the grave dwells in you. And the Bible says that same Spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. I believe that's for the day of the resurrection, but I also believe it's for now. To quicken means just to bring life to it. Where there's deadness in your body, God said, I will bring it alive. Jesus said when he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, I am the resurrection. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he could bring him out of the grave, don't you think he can set you free from your sickness and disease? He hasn't changed. Mary and Martha didn't believe it. He tried to show them, look, here I am. We don't understand that. So David was being chased by Saul. Saul got jealous of David because he killed Goliath and he killed into songs that were singing, Saul killed his thousand, David killed his 10,000. So Saul got jealous. Amen? Listen, persecution comes because other people are jealous of you. Because of what you've gotten, they don't. They'll come against you every time. That's not that we don't expect it, but we don't keep our mouth shut either. David couldn't understand why the persecution was coming. He couldn't understand. All I was doing was trying to help out. I killed the giant for Saul and for all the army. I killed and all these people. He would go out and kill the Philistines. Saul got jealous and started chasing after David to kill him. Remember that? David went into the caves, right? Saul was getting closer and closer. Finally, David had made a decision. I'm going to go to the Philistines. He had a lot of followers with David. David had a lot of people with him. I think last I heard, you know, at that time was around 600 or better of men. But then you had women and children and all that. And he had responsibilities. You know, I know that's a bad word. Most people don't like that, responsibilities. But you're all called to be responsible. You're supposed to be responsible for the very presence of God in you. Not to put a bushel over it, but let it sit out there for all to see. That light in you, that Holy Spirit in you, you are responsible to keep it out there. Well, if God wanted me to, he wants you to.
Amen.
Well, if God does it, he did it.
Amen.
What else you need?
Amen.
The one thing we got to remember is we can't always go the way we want to go. We can't always have what we want. We got to really think about what he wants. And I know in the Word of God, it's very clear, many things. We can look in the Word of God and see all the answers he's got for us. All the things that we need are in that Word. But there's times when we come to him and we don't see it in there. Amen? There was a time when Diane and you've heard this story, so don't fall asleep. I'll be quick. We were living in Schenectady. The church was in North Greenbush. We traveled that two or three times a day. A lot of traveling on the road. One day I'm walking the dog, and God spoke to me. Not the dog, God. I started to say the dog. He didn't. I know he speaks through donkeys at times, but he didn't speak to our dog. Yeah, and he said to me, he said, Dave, and he showed me, he said, I'm going to give you this house. You got to sell this one here. I went home and I told Diane, God told us to sell the house and move. Then we decided, well, I didn't say it that. I said, we. We decided we had to fix it up to get ready to sell it. Things that we should do for it. Well, by the time we finished getting it ready to sell, the market dropped tremendously in Schenectady. It took us 8 years to sell that house. 8 years. We didn't make one penny off it because we heard the voice of God, but we didn't do exactly what he told us to do. And my fault was I didn't ask him for instructions beyond the point of selling. But when God gives you instructions, do it immediately. Don't wait. Well, it doesn't sound normal. It's, you know, this is the way we should do it. Whoa. Do what God tells you to do. So David was being chased by Saul, and he got into the mountain caves, and finally Saul was getting close. You remember the story where he had an opportunity to kill Saul in one of the caves. But he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't touch God's anointed. And believe it or not, even though he was being chased by Saul, and he knew that Saul wanted to kill him, he still loved him. Isn't it amazing you can really love your enemies? It's an amazing fact. So finally David made a decision. Okay, I can't stay in the caves because he's getting too close. I'm going to have to go someplace. So he decided to go to the Philistines. And he went to King Ahash or Ahmad or whatever his name was. Ahash or something like that. I don't know what it is. And so he went there and he joined himself to the enemies of Israel. And when he did that, a report was sent back to Saul. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord, I'll leave that. Word went back to Saul that David had gone to the Philistines. Saul stopped chasing him. Just what David was hoping for. And so David, having joined himself to the king over there, started doing and helping the king of the Philistines. And finally, the king was so enamored with him that he took David and gave him his own city called Ziklag. So David took his people there and they went there and they sat, and David would go out and he would rob places. In other words, he'd go into other territories. David, who never forgot who he was, would go to the Amalekites, he would go to the other sites, but he wouldn't go into Israel, because Israel he still loved. He was king of Israel, even though outwardly it didn't appear to be, but according to God, he was a king. Even though you don't appear to be, according to God, you are a king. You understand that? It may not appear at the moment. It may look like, hey man, everything's going wrong here. But you are a king. And not only that, you're a priest. In David's day, the priest was not allowed, or the king was not allowed to go in and take of the priestly duties. That was separate. But when David was being chased, there was a time when he went into the temple and he took bread, the show bread, and he ate from it. And the priest said, hey, you can't do that. That's for the priest alone. And David said, oh, watch me. I'm paraphrasing somewhat. And he ate of the bread. Which showed us that David, hallelujah, was not only a king, but a priest. Guess what? You also are a priest. He said, you're kings and priests in the household of God. The king was one who had authority and power. And when he spoke, when you speak to a mountain as the king that you're called to be, the king always knew when he spoke it was law. Amen. You know, you speak with authority. Jesus, when he came, they were amazed at Jesus because he just didn't speak. He spoke with authority. How many of us speak with authority? Not the authority that you have, but the authority of the Word of God, the authority of the Spirit of God. How many of us are speaking with that authority? You can, you know. You can say to that mountain, be thou removed. And you don't have to be like the disciples when he spoke to the tree and it died and they were in amazement. They were amazed the tree died. Why? God himself spoke. When you speak by the Spirit, God himself is speaking.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You understand that?
Yes, yes, yes.
When you speak by the Spirit, that doesn't make you God. It just means the Spirit of God is in you. And believe it or not, we're going to learn something sometime soon. The Spirit of God speaks. And he speaks at times through the mouth of man. When you walk by the Spirit, when you're led by the Spirit, you'll speak by the Spirit. And with that authority, you will see the enemy go. And the power of God be released. So here's David. And he went out and he would raid the nearby countryside and come back and he'd give some to the king and to his people. And he'd always tell them this. He said, yeah, I was down in Israel raiding. He never went to Israel to raid. He just went up and did the neighbors of this guy. So it came a time when the Philistines, Ahash, and a whole bunch of his princes and all country and all the kingdoms around him decided to go attack Israel. Now Ahash thought David was his buddy, his right arm. David, you're going with me up to there and we're going to attack Israel. You know, the ones who have been always after you, trying to kill you, do all this stuff. We're going to take you. You're going to be right with me. Well, the other princes, the Philistines, remembered David and how he used to kill them. And they're going up to do battle against Israel. They're saying, you can't take him with you. Why not? Because he might turn on us. Oh, really? No, honest, he's my bud. He won't do that. He's my right-hand man. We hang out together. We do things together. And he said, no, we don't want him. So here David says, the king says, look, tomorrow morning, as soon as it gets light, get out of here. Take your buddies with you. Go home. Go back to Ziklag. We're going to have to do this without you. Now, I'm not sure what David was thinking. Maybe he was thinking of turning on them when they attacked Israel. I don't know. It doesn't say. But I'm sure that he was thinking to himself either one of two things. Oh, too bad. I really planned on attacking from the rear of these guys. Or, thank God I don't have to go and attack my people. I don't know which one it was, but either way, he was happy. So he got back to his house and to his city, Ziklag. He's back there. And when he gets there, he finds out the Amalekites had attacked the enemy. I think it was the Amalekites. I could be wrong, but one of those ites attacked and took all the children, all the wives, everything. Everything they owned, everything. The place was wiped clean. David walked into it and looked at it and said, oh. And so what happens? Well, the first thing that happened, everybody blamed him. All his buddies, all the ones who was with him, it's all your fault that this happened. They got so angry at him, they were getting ready to stone him. Now, listen to where David's been now. David was not minding his own business, out in the fields, watching and taking care of the sheep. God calls and chose him to be king, just like you, living your life just in a normal way. And all of a sudden, God called you and chose you. Took you out of that mess. Took you out of that field out there in the world and brought you into his kingdom. Now, you don't feel like a king at the time, either did David, but he went to the palace. And now the palace, he's being attacked by the one he loved that he was ready to serve, to do everything for. He's under attack now. And then he runs and hides in the caves and he goes to the Philistines. And then the Philistines reject him. And then he goes to his own hometown and his people reject him. Do you ever get the feeling he might be a little bit of, this ain't too good. This ain't a good life. I was fine until you chose me. Amen? I wasn't under all this persecution. Guess what? When you step into the realm of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of darkness will not just sit there and leave you alone. It's not going to. And if you're in that place now, it seems like every time I turn this way or that way, it's not working. It'll work. God is at work. What happened? David said, hold on. Whoa, guys, wait a minute. Give me a minute here. I got to go talk to God. He stopped running. You're not running anymore. I'm stopping right here, and I'm going to talk to God. So what did he call for? He called for the ephod. The ephod was just a tunic that they put on. Only the priests were allowed to wear them. Most times it was only the high priest one time a year, but the priests wore them. Later on, David would wear one of those, and that's all he wore. That's what, according to some tradition, whether it's true or not, but when he was dancing before the Ark of the Covenant, if you remember that story, they say he had an ephod on, but that was all. Now, ephod was just two pieces of cloth. It went down back here part of the way. Then it went down. They never said how long exactly it was. They had two stones up here that would hold it in place. And it had two rings on it that would hold the breastplate where all the stones of the 12 tribes of Israel were on. And they would use it when they would go to God. I looked it up. I've looked all over really what the significance of it was. Other than holding the breastplate, I'm not sure. Not real much in there at all. The Urim and the Thummim, if you ever hear of them, that's when the priests would use that to inquire of God. And they, I don't even know how they work exactly, but I liken them to do dice. And they threw the dice and see what happens. If you remember when Judas ended up killing himself and hanging from a tree and killing himself, that they had to get another apostle to make the 12, and they used Urim and Thummim to decide who it was. It was just the way they read it. Don't ask me. I'm not sure how that worked exactly. I'm not even sure why he needed ephod other than this. Maybe it was just a place where he would go into his prayer closet. Ever hear that? There's times when you got to just stop what you're doing and say, wait a minute. I need to hear from God. I got to get into my prayer closet. That means you got to stop everything. You got to shut everybody else out. You just you and him. Well, how long do I have staying there? Till you hear from him. Amen. You don't want to go in there and just cut it short. Well, we don't know how long it'll be. It doesn't matter. If you're in a position like David was, and nothing's going right, I believe what you want to do is to hear from God. Amen? You want to hear from God. Now, if you believe in God, if you trust God, if you're not leaning on your own understanding, if you're not complaining and murmuring, if you're not caring and throwing it in and out, that you know that he is the only one who's got an answer for your problem, then you need to hear from him. What kind of prayer should I pray? It doesn't matter. You get alone with God and you say, Father, I just need to hear. What should I do? And that's what David was saying at that point. He said, Lord, should we chase them or should we not? Now, come on now. They took your wife, your children, all your stuff. You left there in that city, and you're asking him whether you should go after him or not? What would the natural man do? Come on. You'd chase him down. You'd run him over. You'd blow him up. Whatever it took. Right? Come on now. Natural man, our instinct is immediately crash, bang, let's go. What are you waiting on? No. He said, first of all, I got to hear from God what to do. It doesn't say how long it took. Doesn't. So what should we do, Lord? Should we go after him? God said, go. And he said this to him, and you will prevail. How do you know? It's fun to go when you already know you won. Amen. If you go and you're not sure what's going to happen, you go, we'll go a little slow here, take our time. No. When you know that God said, I have already won, I already have the victory, it's already done, then you're going to run. You're not just going to go slow. But how do you know you have the victory? Because you heard the voice of God. Amen. I remember Ken Thompson one time, he was having a heart attack. And fear came, right? But then the voice of God spoke. You shall not die but live. Proclaim the works of the Lord. Fear left. Did he have to go through the process? Yes. But he knew that God was with him in the midst of it. And he doesn't have to worry about the victory. Our victory is assured. But let me tell you something, because I say it, because you read it in here, means nothing until you hear the voice of God. But when the voice of God speaks, everybody listens. And you'll step out of that closet and you'll say, you know what God told me? I got to go do this. And everybody around you say, well, you can't do that. You're too sick. Or you can't do that. You don't have any money. Or you can't do that because nobody wants to hear from you. Or you can't do that. But you say, but God said, do it. And I'm going to do it. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to do it. But how do I know it was God speaking? Maybe it was just me. Well, God's never going to tell you to go tell somebody about Jesus. The devil is never going to tell you. Excuse me. Amen? Look, you'll know. David knew as long as God was with him, he can do anything. Yes. When you come to that conclusion, and I'm telling you, part of the process, what we're going to learn here is how to hear from God, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that whatever you're going through at that moment, wherever you're going, and it doesn't matter whether you live or die, because you're with him. And I'm going to tell you what, you can be in the midst of the worst of worst things, and his voice comes, and it brings comfort and peace to you just like that. And all of a sudden, all fear is gone, all doubt's gone, unbelief is gone. Now, my God is with me. The greatest thrill in the world, like Diane said, walk through there and feel the very presence of God. Amen. The greatest thrill in the world is just walking along, talking to him, and listen to his voice talk to you. We want that intimacy. We want that relationship. We want the Holy Spirit. Not that you don't have him, but maybe we haven't given him enough time. Maybe we haven't done all that he instructed us to do. Maybe we're still living that life of half in, half out. But God's about to bring you in fully. He's going to reach out his hand. just like Peter. Peter was drowning. Jesus reached out his hand, took him, picked him up. They went to the boat, and the Bible says, then they were at the other side. You hear his voice. First of all, you got to say to him, Lord, help me. Honest with you, Lord, I haven't been here where I should. I've done a lot of things wrong. I'm sorry. I ask your forgiveness. But I need to hear your voice. Here's what you're saying. I need to know that you are with me. I need to know you're with me in the midst of this because I can't do it without you. And as soon as you do that, I believe with all my heart, all of a sudden the Spirit of God is going to reveal that he is there. Now, you still have to wait for the instructions. And what's going to happen is as soon as you start doing what he instructs you to do, you'll be to the other side of that thing. Just like that. It's a way of God. We've seen it too many times. Did David still have to do the battle? Yes. But he knew he could win the victory because God was with him. Amen. God's with you.
Amen.
God is with you. The Holy Spirit is waiting for you to spend time with him, to get the instructions that you can win the victory for whatever the battle is in your life. Whether it be people, loved ones, whether it be health, whether it be financial, whatever it is, God will instruct you personally. He knows every hair on your head. When it falls off it, he knows it. You understand that? He takes care of the birds of the fields. He takes care of all the animals out there. He takes care and holds the stars and the moon and the sun and the sky by the power of his word. And we say to him, but you're not big enough to take care of me? What about me, Lord? What about me? Trust me, you're more precious to him than any other creation that ever was. He loves you with a love that's not even comprehensible. A young couple ready to get married. Their love for each other is nothing compared to the love he has for you. I'm telling you. What he has prepared for you, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has anybody even conceived. Let me put it this way. You think too small. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You think too small. You're asking for $20 to get gas for your car when God is saying, I want to give you $1,000 so you can give some to somebody else in need. Don't think too small of God. Don't be satisfied with crumbs when he wants to give you the whole loaf of bread. And that is not saying, okay, you're going to have new houses, new cars. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is he wants to fill your life up to overflowing. For out of your belly will come rivers of living water. What is that river of living water? It's the very presence of the Holy Spirit. When you're so filled with the Spirit, it'll start flowing out of you. And wherever it goes, it'll bring life, it says. We've been trying to do it in our own strength. We've been trying to do it in our own wisdom. We've been trying to do it because we saw the Word of God. We're just doing it. But we never stop to think, Father, what do I got to do? Holy Spirit, teach me, show me, guide me, lead me, direct my path. I got loved ones I want to see saved. I got people I want to see healed. I want to hear the voice of God. What do you want from me, Lord? So that you can be a vessel of honor for God's glory. Amen. We're going to get there.
Amen.
You're going to get there.
Yes.
We're going to get there together.
Amen.
We're going to touch the very presence, the very essence of who he is. And when you touch the very glory of God, it's like electrifying power. It'll electrify you. Cause you to get up and dance. 71 years old, I started dancing today. I haven't danced in a long time, but I started dancing. The power of God enables me to do things I can't do on my own. And it makes me actually want to do them. That's what's an amazing fact. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the word that has come forth from your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Father, hallelujah. There's some in here right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to. Even now, if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, listen. He's instructing you, and I see it now. You're thinking, this is me. This must be me. No. It's the Spirit of God. He's speaking to you right now. If you'll just do what he says, you know that voice. It's soft, it's gentle, it's comforting, it's peaceful. And it goes against everything that you're fighting and battling right now. Just do what he says. Just do it. Even if you do it with a little of doubt, or that's all right. God can handle that too. As you obey the Spirit of God, you will see the fullness of God's will being done in your life. It's a way that seems impossible with man, but God has already made a way that's possible. And he would never ask you to do something you're incapable of doing. He will always make a way for you. Father, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we say it, Lord, we want to hear your voice. We need to hear your voice. We want a greater, closer walk with you. Holy Spirit, you're more than just a word. You're our friend. And we welcome you. Help us to walk daily with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah. We have a few announcements. If you can give us a couple of seconds.